Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Get in the pulpit a little early and we'll see what happens. 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 1. The title of the message this morning is Good Replacements That Can't Reproduce Godly Results. Sometimes we settle for good things when we should be doing the best things. Amen? Let's look here with me real quick. In chapter 4, verse 1 of 1 Samuel. And the word of Samuel came unto Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they were joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring forth thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of this mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians, and with all the plagues in the wilderness. Isn't it amazing, even after several hundred years passed, that there's still the testimony of God, his defeat over the Egyptians. Verse 9, Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourself like men and fight. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And they ran, and there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with the earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, What meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that come out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, What is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Let's pray. God, we thank you today for your love and grace and mercy that you've so extended to us. We do ask this morning for your presence. Not only, Lord, your presence, but the evidence of such, Lord, that you would be preeminent this morning in our services. God, we do need you. Help us, Lord, to rely on you, not only in our theology, but, Lord, practically in our everyday lives. We ask this in your name. Amen. I ask you the question this morning, do you need God? And all of you would answer, yes, I do need God. But many times we would answer that way because we know theologically, we know from the Bible that we need God. But what I'm asking this morning, practically, do you need God? Do you need God every day in your everyday life? Do you experience and understand that you need God every day, every minute, every second? Do we need God? How often do you go to Him? How often do you go to Him and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, help me. Lord, I need you to give me wisdom in this area. Lord, help me in this area. Lord, I need you. How often do you go to Him? The Philistines were a nation that God was always using to remind Israel that they needed Him. That they needed Him. Weren't the Philistines just a thorn in the side of Israel? Constantly after them, constantly in battle with them. Again, God reminding Israel that they needed Him. That they needed Him. What does God have to remind you? And how does God remind you? I don't know about you, but He's reminded me many times. Amen? Look back at my life, say, yeah, right there, right there, right there. Whenever I get self-confident and I begin to rely upon myself, God kind of takes something or someone or whatever the case is and kind of says, okay, knocks my legs out from under me and reminds me, hey, you need me. You need me. And we do desperately need Him this morning. What does God have to use to remind you and to remind me that we need Him? We all need certain things. And we understand this, and I've preached this many times. We need things. The Bible says God's promised to supply our needs. What needs? They're emotional needs. We all have emotional needs. I'm just reminded again, as I sit around Thanksgiving supper and just saw the interaction of families, my family, other families, and heard them talk about their relational problems. Boy, there are a lot of relational needs out there, isn't there? Every one of us in this room have some kind of relational problem this morning. Every one of us. He said, not me preach, every one of us do. It may be a relationship with a child. It may be a relationship with a husband or a wife. It may be a relationship with a family member or a neighbor. You know, that neighbor that won't cut their hedges like you want them to. Or that neighbor that keeps letting their... when I was a boy, and we were up in Nakona, a little church in Nakona, a little country church, a little small building, we had a huge sign on the side of the road. We didn't own the property there. And a lady owned the property, and she kind of got crossways or something, but she let a bush grow up in front of the sign. And we wanted to cut the bush down. And she just said, no, you're not cutting the bush down. I remember one day my dad said, we didn't do it, but we thought about it. Going and putting battery acid on it, you know. No, we didn't do that. But relational problems. Couldn't let us see our church, so we had to move the church sign. And we all have relational problems. Again, thinking of family at Thanksgiving and all the different talks around the table of relational problems and marital this and marital that and kids this and grandkids that. And we all have relational needs. We all have emotional needs. We all have, to a certain extent, financial needs. We all, every one of us, have spiritual needs. God has a promise to supply those needs for Him. We need Him. We need Him. We have needs. Needs are God's reminder that we need Him. And these are needs many times that, again, that only He can meet. Only He can meet spiritual needs. Amen. Amen. He will meet your needs. Philippians 4:19, we won't turn over there, but again, God promised to meet your needs. God has promised to meet my needs. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God has promised to supply every need you have. And if that's a physical need this morning, God's going to supply that need for you. If that's a relational need around this Christmas time and the holidays here, God will supply that need. If that's a financial need, you know, something happens to your vehicle on the way to Thanksgiving, God will supply that need. Whatever the need is, God will supply it. He meets the needs. But let me tell you, many times we replace good things, but many times those good replacements do not replace and make for godly results. For instance, strategies, in other words, how will He meet our needs? Strategy won't substitute for surrender. Strategy won't substitute for surrender. Again, look at chapter 4 and verse 3. And when the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant. Well, they made some plans, didn't they? Well, we all have our plans, don't we? If you go up into the church office up there, you'll turn the corner and you'll find on the wall a 12-month calendar. And it's a very nice calendar where we can take a dry erase marker. We dry erase, mark in everything that's going to happen the next 12 months. We try to be very meticulous in planning the calendar for 2011 and writing in every event and trying to make corrections and do things right and do all the planning we possibly can. Usually Sunday afternoon or Monday morning, I sit down and I put together my week. I plan my schedule. I put together a daily planning sheet. I've been using the same daily planning sheet for 10 years, for like 18 years. And I can actually go back in my life and show you everything I've done, you know. But I sit down and said, this is what I'm going to do on Monday. And I fill in Monday, and I fill in Tuesday, I fill in Wednesday, fill in Thursday, and try to leave Friday blank. Friday's my day off most of the time, and usually I leave that day off for the kids or for fishing, or for both if they want to go with me. I fish with them. But try to fill in the week. All we're going to do, many of you do the same thing with your place of business, your work. And, we try to plan everything. We plan our family vacations. We plan everything we can and so forth. Here they were putting together a plan, putting together a thing in order to go against the Philistines. We'll bring the Ark of the Covenant. Many times we love to take our situations into our own hands. And many times we even like to take God's in our own hands. In other words, there was no reference here to going to God and seeking God's wisdom and counsel. Right? They'd just been defeated by the Philistines, and they didn't go to God and say, God, what do you want us to do? Instead, they strategized themselves and said, hey, we'll go get the Ark of the Covenant. Maybe we need to put God in our plans. Amen? Maybe we need to go to Him and ask for His direction. Maybe we need to go to Him and be reminded again that we need Him in whatever situation it may be. Instead of trying to strategize ourselves out of a situation, go to God in that situation. Someone has said, wisdom is seeing life through God's point of view. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Wisdom is seeing life through God's point of view. When you see your life, you see life through God's point of view. Your life. In other words, are you seeking God's direction in your life and His help? They took things into their own hands. They presumed upon God. They presumed upon God. They said, you know what? If we have the ark here, the ark is a symbol of God's presence. If we have the ark, God would not allow the ark to be taken. God would not allow the ark to be smitten. God would not allow, and presumed upon God, didn't they? Well, I'm a child of God. God wouldn't allow this to happen or this or that. Right? Sometimes we presume upon God. God would never let that happen to me. Hold on. He sure might. Amen? Boy, never presume upon God that the 12 spies went into the land of Canaan. 10 of them came back with an evil report. 2 said, hey, we were well able to overcome. 10 didn't trust God. 2 did. Boy, I just want to trust God. God is able. Amen? But it's not us that is able. Not our strategies. Not our planning. This morning I sang an extra song. Even sang 2 extra songs. And I know there's somebody in the auditorium that went, you know, if we didn't sing those 2 extra songs, we might get out 2 minutes earlier. I'm tired. You know what? I'm tired too. I love Thanksgiving, but I love sleeping in my own bed last night. It was amazing. That was amazing. That bed is amazing. That mattress is about 10 years old, but that mattress is amazing. Right? Someone's saying, well, the preacher did something extra. We didn't get in our regular routine. You know, sometimes I think we need to get out of a routine. You know, every once in a while I think we ought to come in and do the services backwards. You know, pray, preach, and then sing at the end. Just do something different. We seem to have all of our plans and strategies, everything together, and many times we don't rely upon God. Boy, we need to be careful in our own lives. Rely upon Him. Don't strategize yourself out of a problem. Go to God with that problem because He's promised to supply your needs. Notice how many times the word us is used in verse 3. Let us go into Shiloh. Let us. And you see this over and again, that it might save us out of the hand of our enemies. We need to surrender to God that they would not have been slaughtered by the Philistines had they surrendered to God. Love that old song, All to Jesus I Surrender.
All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
What is it that you haven't surrendered to Him this morning? Something you've held back. Something you're saying, well, I can, if I'll do this, this, and this, everything will go well, everything will be fine. Have you sought God? Strategy won't substitute for surrender. Surrender to Him. Surrender to the Lord. Number two, symbols won't substitute for substance. Symbols won't substitute for substance. Israel was God's people, but here in name only. They thought God was their own personal genie. You know what? If we'll just bring the Ark of the Covenant in and rub it, woo! You know, God will take care of us. Many people, again, thinking God won't allow things, certain things to happen to them because they wear a cross around their neck or some other symbol or because the cross is on the front door. Maybe the little sign on the front door says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You think symbols or things will protect them? To them, He was not God. He was a created being. In other words, they produced an image of God in their own mind and worshiped that image. Well, we've got to be careful, folks. Listen, this is something we're going to stress next year a lot. We have a tendency in our own minds to shape God in our own image. And we get this ideal in our own minds of who God is instead of what the Bible says. Can I say it again? Our society as a whole has got a warped sense of who God really is. They've taken God and crafted Him according to their own mold. Let me tell you, God is an omnipotent, He is omniscient God who knows and can do anything He wants. He is completely sovereign. He is above all. He is above everything. And listen, the Bible says we can't even think like He thinks. Our ways are not His ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. We cannot fully comprehend how great and how powerful and how big God really is. We can't. But you know what? Our biggest problem is not that we make Him too big. Our biggest problem is we make Him too small. Hello? Israelites said, you know what? If we'll go grab the Ark of the Covenant, we'll be fine. It's a symbol of God. This is God with us, man. We'll be fine. Man, that's thinking low of God, isn't it? Boy, we got to be careful. We have got to be so careful. Our God we serve is a mighty, mighty God. And symbols and sacrifices and so forth help us relate to God, but that is not God. The Ark of the Covenant helped them relate to God, but the Ark of the Covenant was not God. It was a symbol of God's presence. It was a symbol of God's presence with them. But again, they did not seek God's wisdom. They did not seek God. They didn't go to God and say, all right, God, we got defeated by the Philistines yesterday. What are we going to do tomorrow? No, they said, hey, let's go get this symbol and we'll bring it in here. By the way, they did that after the fact. They got defeated the first time. Go get the ark. Let me tell you again, they had God's paraphernalia. They had God's symbol, but they did not have God's presence. Again, they said that it may save us. That it? They didn't say that God may save us. They said that the Ark of the Covenant would save them. Well, let me tell you this morning, it's not going to save anybody. Again, the Ark was a symbol, not a substitute for God. Salvation is in a person, not in paraphernalia or some symbol. Can I tell you again? we must depend on God. Again, baptism does not substitute for God. Church membership does not substitute. It's no substitute for the Lord Jesus Christ. Joining the church is no substitute for knowing Jesus Christ, having Him as our Savior. Amen? Listen to me, there is no substitute other than acknowledging who Jesus is and that you're in need of a Savior to have eternal life. If you are going to have eternal life, if you're going to have everlasting life, if you're going to escape hell and have a home in heaven, you must trust not in it, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And what He did for us. Again, it's not just trusting in Him, but it's trusting in His works, His perfect life, His death, His burial, and then His resurrection. Amen? It's coming to Him as a sinner, acknowledging that you have a problem, that you have a sin problem. It's repenting of those sins, saying, Lord, I don't want to be a sinner. I don't want to die and go to hell because of my sins. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, I believe You lived, died, and rose again to save me from my sins, to save me from the penalty of sin. Lord, save me. And when you ask Him, when you call upon Him, when you trust in Him, He will save you. Amen? He will save you. He's promised to. It's not it that will save you. It's not baptism that will save you. It's not church membership that will save you. It's not service that will save you. Our busyness is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, let me remind you, don't substitute what you know for what you do. You only believe what you do. What you believe, what you really believe, results in the actions that you perform. Right? Do you really believe God will supply your needs? Then your actions will prove that out. Amen. So much easier for many times for us to go through the motions as a church and as individuals. So much easier many times to put together the calendar and make sure everything's meticulously done. And I believe the Bible says everything ought to be done decently in order. Amen? But many times we put together programs and many times we lose the presence and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hello? I'm not saying anything new this morning. I'm just reminding you, we need the Lord. When you stepped in those doors this morning, you need the Lord. I need the Lord. I need to be careful about programming Him out of my life. I need to be careful about calendaring Him out of my life. Putting together my timesheet and my set of daily plans and timing Him out of my life. I need the Lord. I need it today more than ever, raising my children. I need it today more than ever as a pastor, pastoring a church and dealing with people and their relational and their physical and their emotional problems. I need Him today more than ever. And I never want to substitute it for Him. I want the presence and power of God in my life. Sunday school teachers, we got to be careful. Master Club workers, we've got to be careful that we go through the routine of teaching and going to visitation and doing our business about the church, that we leave off the presence and power of God. We need the presence and power of God for our teaching to be effective. We need the power and presence of God for our work to be effective, our work for the Lord. They also traded shouts for sincerity. Shouts won't substitute for sincerity. When the ark came into the camp there in verse 5, it says, and when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang again. I love this point. The ark came into the camp. What they did in the camp did not match up with what they did in combat. What we do at home, ought to match up with what we do at work. In other words, we can come to church, dress the part, but what really counts is when we go out those back doors, are we living the part? We can shout in here, amen, preacher, woo, get it done. But, you know, I don't want our church to lose the shout. Amen. I want the shout. I want the amens. But what really counts, the proof is in the pudding. We walk out those back doors. Tomorrow morning at work, are you living it? Amen? You only practice, you only believe what you practice. Are you living the Christian life? Are you living the Christian life? Don't measure relationship with God by what you do in the camp, but by what you do in combat. Again, shouting is easy at church. Shouting is easy at camp, in the camp, when you got your Bible face on, right? But don't run away to your tent and get whipped in the battle when you step into it tomorrow, at work, at home. What do we do, preacher, then? Run to God. When you're in the battle and you're weak and discouraged, run to God. Don't run to it. Run to God. Run to God. And by the way, don't go hide yourself in a room anyway. It's kind of like the old monks in the monastery. They just kind of hid themselves away. You know what? If I can hide myself away, I won't be influenced by the world around me. The Bible says that we're to be in the world, but not of the world. But we're to be in the world. Amen? We got to be careful about that as well. It's kind of like, I get it every once in a while. Preacher, man, I didn't come to church on Sunday. All these problems happened in my life. I just shut myself up in the room. I always say something to this effect. Well, the devil got the victory in your life this week. Man, he did exactly his job. He got you to do exactly what he wanted to do because you staying at home didn't help you a bit. The place where you could get help at church is what you left off. Amen? Well, don't stay at home in your tent. Get to the camp. Amen? Run to Jesus. Jesus said, go and I will be with you. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We can. Amen? Lastly this morning, sadness won't substitute for sanctification. God had told Eli, this priest, what was going to happen. If you look back in chapter 2, you find that Eli was told by the prophet that his two sons were going to die in verse 34. He said, Eli, because of the wickedness of your sons, they're going to die. They're going to be cut off. Eli had been warned, and no doubt he had wept. No doubt he had wept. Again, at any time he could have repented. Eli could have repented and sought God to intervene. But he didn't. Can I just say that just being sad is not the solution? Repentance is the solution. When faced with a situation, whatever it may be, and I've told you this many times, and I believe absolutely the Bible makes this very clear, that when a situation comes to our life, the first thing we should do is check us. What am I the issue? Hello? Not your neighbor, not your spouse, not your kids. It's me, oh, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. Amen? Draw a circle around yourself. Say, Lord, is it me? And then repent of those sins. See if that won't change the situation a little bit. Hello? Amen. Just being sad about something won't change it. Sadness can lead to solution, but only if we turn to God in that situation. Again, sadness may lead us to repentance. Sadness may lead us to God, but just being sad won't do it. I have no doubt that the 4,000 or whatever it was there that was killed on that first day, no doubt that the nation of Israel was sad and those men were sad. But it didn't turn them to God. It turned them to it. I don't know what it can be. For you, it may be coming to church and maybe you're relying on just the friends here or whatever the case is. It may be a family member. I rely heavily many times on my dad, and we have to be careful about even, again, there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, but when we go to counsel, we need to go to God for wisdom. Amen? Seek Him while He may be found. Acts says He's not very far from any of us. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said He has sent us as a comforter. Amen. One called alongside to help us in our time of need. I'm glad this morning He has not left us defenseless. And then can I say, as our theme is this year, please understand that God does not leave us without hope. There is hope. But hope is not in it. Hope is not in it. Hope is not in some schedule or some program or some strategy. Hope is not in some symbol. Hope is not in some magic genie. Hope is not necessarily in sadness. Hope is in the Lord. We need Him this morning. God is faithful to those who will call on Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he reminds again, Paul reminds us as well as the Lord there, that when we are weak, He is strong. He is faithful. He is faithful. Faithful is He who called you, who also will do it. I'm telling you, where God leads, He feeds. God will supply your every need, whatever need that is this morning, emotional, relational, physical, spiritual. God will supply every need you have if you'll go to Him. If you'll go to Him. Let's all stand.